Luke chapter 1. The virgin birth. Is scriptural. It teaches us that Jesus Christ was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit of God and birthed by Mary, a virgin. In our passage, this miraculous event is set before us as Don read this passage. Mary was engaged to Joseph, which was in those days a legal arrangement in which the woman was betrothed and pledged to a man. But sexual relationships were not permitted during that time. Might not be bad to have that today. So because of that, Mary wondered, when she got the message, Mary wondered, how could this be? The angel explained to her that this would be accomplished by the power of the Most High, or the power of the Highest. Nothing physical would take place. It would be a divine act. And it emphasized, the angel did, that the child would be the Holy One. Only God could perform the miracle of the virgin birth. Only God could bring about the incarnation that took place that first Christmas. When you look at Scripture, you find that God created a body in four different ways. He created Adam's body from the dust of the earth. He created Eve's body from the side of Adam. He creates the average human body through sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. And then here, he created Christ's body by the Holy Spirit without any human involvement. Four different ways that God creates a body. Now, we know, and we do understand, that the Son of God could never, ever be born as we were born. And there are several reasons for that. But one reason is because every baby that comes into this world is a new creation. Every baby that is born has never existed before conception. They are a new person in this world. And if they are born again, they become a new creation again. They're born again. But Jesus Christ existed from eternity. He was not only born within this world, he is from outside of this world. John 3:17, God sent not his Son into the world. From where? Outside the world. He did not send him into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, a son is given. A child born speaks of his humanity. A son given speaks of his deity. And so Christ has two natures. Now that's always puzzled people. How can that be? Well, as the angel said, with God there's nothing impossible. Amen. Nothing. Christ had the divine nature, and he had the human nature. The eternal nature, the divine nature of the Son of God, was joined to Mary's womb with the human nature by the act of God. So the divine nature, which was the Holy Spirit, was brought into Mary's womb, joined to Mary's womb, by or with a human nature, and only by the act of God could that happen. It would have been impossible for anyone else to do that. How can this be? We asked. Mary asked, how can this be? Well, you will never, ever understand this on this side of eternity. You can analyze it in 40 million different ways, but you'll never, ever understand it. That's why 1 Timothy 3:16 says the mystery of godliness. It is a mystery. It is a mystery that mankind in our finite mind will never completely grasp. But God does the impossible. What we see is impossible. God brings about mysteries that we can't comprehend, although we try our best to. And I think in trying to, we get worse off. We back ourselves into a corner. Other than the fact that he existed before he was born, and that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ was birthed as any other child. Every one of us were born in like manner. Jesus Christ was born in like manner as we are. Other than his existence, and being conceived by the Holy Spirit. That we cannot say. Luke 2:52 has been a stumbling block for many people. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, it tells us in that last verse, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, he came into this world as a baby like anyone else. He grew to be a little boy like anyone else. He grew to be a teen like anyone else. Some of them hadn't quite reached that yet, but they'll get there. He grew into being a man, just like anyone else. But when you look at this one verse, how many people have stumbled over that and what it says here? Because we know as a human, and this is something we tend to, we tend to kind of dismiss that. We dwell so much on his deity, we forget about his humanity. But he was human. He got tired. He wept. He learned. He grew. All this took place. He played with other children. He was a teenager. I don't think they call him teenager in those days. He was adolescent. That was Christ. That was his humanity. And it's not being blasphemous. It's not taking anything away from him. We're talking about that which God gave to him. He was human. He wept. He was troubled at times. His soul was troubled. All of these things took place in his human nature. But in his divine nature, he was God. He was God. He was without sin. In fact, we use a term called he was impeccable. He could not sin. He could not sin. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have a high priest which cannot be touched. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." How? How can that happen? Because both natures existed in him at the same time. Both natures. He met every temptation in his human nature. Every temptation he met. Yet his divine nature prevented him from sinning. Well, again, it's a mystery. We'll look more a little bit this afternoon about it with Luke 1:52. But I just want us to understand that Christ had two natures. And we'll take those words in Luke 2:52 as we look at this afternoon. What child is this? What child is this? Now, because of this being a mystery, and because we can't completely explain it, there have been those who have denied the virgin birth. And that has grown. That has grown. More and more as time has gone on. Because we live in an age when Paul said, they will profess themselves to be wise, but became fools. Well, right now, I think it's like 52% of 18 to 29-year-olds deny the virgin birth. Down from 74% in 2014. Because if you can't understand it and you can't explain it, it's not important. Is the virgin birth important? There are evangelicals today who will tell you, you do not need to believe in the virgin birth to be saved. Really? What is the virgin birth all about? Why would I say a big nonsense to that? Because when we deny the virgin birth, we deny more than just the virgin birth. It's not just the virgin birth. When you say you do not believe in a virgin birth, you are denying a lot more than just that. Well, how important is it? Well, let's look at negatives. If that is so, if the virgin birth is not true, if that is so, it denies the credibility of Scripture. It denies the credibility of Scripture. At least 18 times, the Scriptures tell us that an angel appeared and spoke to various ones about the birth of the Lord. The angel came to Mary. The angel came to Joseph. The angel came to the shepherds. The angel came to Zacharias. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:21 means God with us. Matthew 1:23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. And I said 1:21, which is 1:23. God with us. So if we deny that, if we deny the truth, if anyone denies the truth of the virgin birth, they are disregarding the witness of the angels. They're disregarding the word of Isaiah. They are disregarding all of that and replacing it with their own human thinking. They lean on their own understanding. God tells us, don't do that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Because there are things that God holds in secret that he has not shared with us completely. Because we don't need to know it right now. We believe it, though. There are things that God has told us that we believe him. That is faith. But when we turn from that, which we cannot understand, and because of our little finite minds can't grasp, we call it nonsense. How can we even think of grasping all the truths of God with this, excuse me, but I'll include myself here, pea brain? Right? We think we got all the answers. We think we got it all solved, and we can't solve it, then it's not important or it does not exist. You think about just how much Scripture is ignored when you deny the virgin birth. And the thing is, if you deny the truth of the virgin birth, we're dismissing these witnesses. If you deny any portion of God's word as being untruthful, then all of Scripture is called into question concerning its reliability. It's like the law. You break in one area, you break it all. And when you deny just one portion of God's word, you call into question the entirety of God's word, whether it's reliable. But it also brings into question the purity of Mary. Well, are we to believe that Isaiah, the angel, the gospel writers, are we to believe that they all lied? Especially Matthew. Think about it. Since Joseph was not Jesus' biological father, and if you refuse to believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, then who was the father? Who was the father? Some man had to be the father. Now remember, Mary has been betrothed to Joseph. That is a legal binding. There was to be no sexual activity during that time. It would have been fornication. So if we know Joseph wasn't the father, and there are those who say there was no virgin birth, they deny the Holy Spirit, then who was the father while she was engaged to Joseph? Because that's the only other way. So that means that Mary was guilty of cheating on Joseph and committing fornication. And if that's true, how could she be highly favored by God? How could she be said to be blessed among women if that's the case? No, Mary was pure. Mary was upright. Now, Joseph questioned to start with. He was concerned until the angel told him the truth of what was taking place. But then third, the character of Christ would be brought into question. Now, this all comes from just denying the virgin birth. The reliability, the credibility of Scripture, the purity of Mary, and the character of Christ, who he was. Think of this. If he were not virgin born, Christ was not virgin born. First of all, he would have been an illegitimate child. He was accused of that by his enemies. Turn with me to John chapter 8 and notice what Christ said, or what was said to him. John chapter 8, and look at verse 41. John 8, 41. Christ said, "You do the deeds of your father. You do the works of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication." What would they insinuate? They were insinuating the fact that Christ was born out of fornication. "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." But you notice how they implied. They were saying, "You were born from fornication. You were conceived by another man while your mother was engaged or betrothed to Joseph." Now, what is the term that's used for that? You are a bastard. You are an illegitimate child. So the character of Christ is called into question. He would have been the son of an unknown father. If it's not Joseph, we know. If it's not the Holy Ghost, then it's an unknown person that nobody knows about. And so he is an illegitimate child. Deuteronomy 23:2 says, "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to the tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord." In fact, in Hebrews, remember it talks about the chastisement of the Lord, the punishment? He is saying he chastises those who are his children, not bastards. In order to what? Bring about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So if you deny the virgin birth, then the character of Christ is called into question. The purity of Mary is called into question. The credibility of Scripture is called into question. And it would have denied him of any office that he would hold. Now we know that Christ is prophet, priest, and king. But if that were the case, he could be none of that. He would be denied any office. He could not even come into the assembly because of that. So that would be very, very serious. And yet when people deny the virgin birth, that's what they're doing. That's what they're calling into question. Christ could not qualify as our Redeemer. He could not qualify as a Savior if he was an illegitimate child. But finally, if you refuse to believe in the virgin birth, and as I said, there are even evangelicals that do not hold to it, and they don't see it's that important. If you discard or do not believe in the virgin birth, you discard the foundation of Christianity. You discard the foundation of Christianity. You discard everything that Christianity is built upon. Everything. That which makes Christianity what it is. That which makes us different from any other religion. From any other religion. What does Christianity offer to a world of lost mankind that other religions don't? Think of a few. First of all, a sinless Savior. Not any other religion offers that to man. No other religion. He was fully human with a human body, a physical body, that he received from Mary. But at the same time, he was fully God. He was eternal and he was sinless. If not virgin born, he would have been the son of an earthly father, and therefore he would have been sinful. He would have been sinful. Every other religion, their founder is sinful. No other religion can claim a sinless Savior. You can take any religion and go back to their founders and trace their life, and you will find sin. You will find sin. But not with Jesus Christ. He is sinless. Now that leads to the atonement. Because if he is not a sinless Savior, then the atoning work was worthless. It's useless. How could he atone for my sin and your sin if he was sinful? He couldn't. So we have an atonement now that he begins to effect. So he is not qualified. He's not qualified to be the Lamb of God. He is not qualified to be the spotless Lamb of God. If he's sinless, or if he's sinful, and his death would have no meaning, there would be no atonement. Third, he is a living Savior. No other religion. They're all dead. Or if they're not dead and they just created a new religion, they'll live a while and they're going to die. And that's going to be it. They're not going to come back. But Christianity has a living Savior. If his death did not atone for sin, if he was sinful, then Christ did not arise from the dead. Because his bones would still be in a tomb there in Jerusalem. And our preaching would be in vain. And we would be, as Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 15, we would still be in our sins. Fourthly, he is our future hope. He is our future hope. If Christ did not rise from the grave, then he's not coming again. As I said, he's still in the grave. And guess what? We have no hope. This morning in Sunday school in Galatians 5, Paul said, we wait on the hope of our righteousness through faith. Hope in Scripture. See, we tend, as we did this morning, we thought like sever. We think of the word sever in English terms. We think about hope in English terms. I hope so. But in Scripture, it's always a confident hope. It's a sure hope. It's an active hope. It's a lively hope. It's not a hope so. If there was no virgin birth, if Christ is sinful, then we have no hope. Because he would still be dead. There would be no resurrection. And there would be no future hope for us. But then also, we would not be saved from sin. Matthew 1:21, the one I mentioned earlier. She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How can an ordinary man save me from my sin? Save you from your sin. How? When he's just, in God's eyes, just as sinful as you are, just as sinful as I am. And it could be sins of the spirit or sins of the flesh. Christ committed neither one. Remember Hebrews 10 talks about those high priests that went in, but they had to go in and offer blood for their own sins first before they could offer it for the people. Christ didn't have to do that. If Jesus Christ were not virgin born, all claims regarding his redemptive work and his saving power are negated. Is the virgin birth important? It touches every aspect of Christ's life. Everyone, so many, we just gone through a few. It affects every one of those. And to say the virgin birth does not matter, is not important, I think they need to go back and research Scripture, because it touches on every single aspect of my Christian life, of your Christian life, of Christianity as a whole. And when it is destroyed, it tumbles down. We conclude with this. If the Lord were not virgin born, then he had a sin nature. If he had a sin nature, he did not live a sinless life. If he did not live a sinless life, there's no atoning death. If no atoning death, there's no bodily resurrection. If no bodily resurrection, there's no coming again. If there's no coming again, I have no future hope. If the foundation of faith are destroyed, I have no salvation. The virgin birth is great. The virgin birth is a powerful miracle. The virgin birth is the mystery of godliness that Paul speaks of in 1 Timothy. It is a plan that was conceived in the very heart of God before the foundation of the world by divine wisdom. And it was carried out by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary on that Christmas morn, resulting in Emmanuel, God with us. That's the importance of the virgin birth. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Don't forget the business meeting right over here. Father, we are celebrating a monumental event. The birth of our great God. Your birth. As you came to this earth, among your creation, for mankind. Because of your love for mankind. And only you, Lord, could come up with this and make it happen. The virgin birth. No other way. No other way could it have happened. No other way could you take on a body and be sinless. Live among humankind and be sinless. There is no other way. That would have been the only way. And Lord, because of your divine wisdom, you made that way. And that's why Christ, when he made that sacrifice, it was only one time. And then he sat down. It was finished. Everything was done. There had to be no repeats. Didn't need them. Everything he did, he did. And there's nothing else that's necessary other than faith. That's it. Because he was truly man, you're truly God, in one body, brought about by the miraculous virgin birth that we celebrate this time of the year. And Lord, we are thankful for it. In Christ's name, amen.